Page 136. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my
sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down the righteous one. Let the earth open her womb and bring forth salvation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Their voice is gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and His circuit unto the end of it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down the righteous one. Let the earth open her womb and bring forth salvation. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And
let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, we implore you, and come among us, that by your grace, whatever is hindered by our sins, may yet be speedily accomplished through your mercy and satisfaction. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name. The epistle is from the fourth chapter of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you? He confessed, and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, No. Then they said to him, Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our sermon text is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So today's epistle from Philippians 4 begins, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again, I will say, rejoice. The exhortation for the Christian to rejoice in all circumstances, well, it sounds a little bit like my Thanksgiving sermon, which taught that we are to be content in all circumstances and to always be giving thanks. Now, in that sermon, I quoted St. Paul, also from Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So is there a connection between the exhortation to give thanks and today's exhortation to rejoice? Absolutely. Let me explain. Thanksgiving is always directed to God. Before there can be true thanksgiving, there needs to be faith in Jesus Christ. Before there can be true thanksgiving, we need the knowledge of the promise of the gospel, the reception of the forgiveness of sins, so that the believer learns that God is good and that he is always giving out good gifts. So thankfulness is a fruit of faith. St. Paul says that he has learned how to be content and thankful. And thus, the Thanksgiving sermon was a course in learning to be thankful. Yes, the eyes of all look to you, O Lord. You give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And thus, the learned disciple of Christ is content and give thanks in all circumstances. Well, today's lesson also requires faith before there can be rejoicing. Today's sermon is, of course, in rejoicing. Rejoicing is always directed toward our neighbor. Just as we maintain the distinction between faith and love, so also we maintain the distinction between thanksgiving and rejoicing. We are to have faith towards God and love towards our neighbor. So also we are to have thanksgiving towards God and rejoicing towards and before our neighbor. Now you may have guessed, yes, rejoicing too is a fruit of faith, and like thanksgiving, it is something that is learned by the believer. So let us begin today's sermon, A Course in Rejoicing. Now before we can dive right in, we need to speak about justice. Justice is the administration of the law. Justice would include the assignment of merited rewards or punishments based on that law. There are certain rights which are accorded by a following of the law, and there are certain punishments which are applied because of a breaking of the law. It doesn't take long of us talking about justice before someone brings up impartiality. Well, okay. The simplest illustration of this is a child who says, "It's not fair." You see, we like the idea of strict justice so that there is no impartiality. However, the application is not so pleasant. And it isn't long before we cry out for leniency and exceptions. You see, in the scriptures we learn that God has delivered to us his law. And it's not an easy law to keep because his outward laws judge not just outward actions, but even the motivations and the intents of our heart. God doesn't just desire that we not hurt or not harm our neighbor or murder him. Our God desires that we fear and love God so that we even help and befriend him. You see, it doesn't take long before we realize that God's laws have set such a high mark that we cannot keep them perfectly. And according to strict justice, there is no partial credit. Now, there are many people who are ignorant of the Word of God, and thus they will say things like, well, as long as you try, or something like, just do the best that you can. Yes. However, strict justice demands perfection. And God's law demands strict justice. Listen to a few passages from the Word of God which describe God's strict justice. Leviticus 19, verse 12 says, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" The bar is set as high as the holiness of God. Matthew 5:48 says, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." The law demands perfection. And James 2 speaks of God's strict justice when it says this, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." It is all or nothing. Break the law even once, and you are guilty. And finally, Galatians 3:10 quotes the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 27:26, when it says this, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Cursed, it says. According to strict justice, God assigns the curse of hell, to those who do not continue to keep, that is, to those who break the law. When we return to Philippians, today's epistle, we find that St. Paul is not maintaining strict justice. He's not maintaining strict justice when it comes to our fellow man, in our relationships to our fellow man. Here's what he says. He says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men." Instead of strict justice, St. Paul is telling us, soften the blow. St. Paul speaks of gentleness toward our neighbor. The rejoicing which we are to do before our neighbor shows itself in our moderation toward them. It's shown in our gentleness and our love toward them. You see, before other people, Christians are to be gentle and willing to yield. This Christian attitude is quite a change from strict justice. Oh, it would be disastrous if we held our neighbor to a strict justice of the law. If our neighbor brought over soup, we shouldn't criticize them that the temperature was lukewarm by the time it arrived. If someone helped you to rake your leaves, you shouldn't tell them that they didn't do a thorough job. If someone comes to church, you don't lay into them for being 10 minutes late. Or when someone gives you a gift, you don't belittle them because it is the wrong size. This attitude of gentleness towards our neighbor is, well, it's also seen as the way that we deal with our fellow believer at church. If they nod off during the sermon, you don't call out their name in order to wake them up. Now, according to strict justice, sleeping during the sermon is despising preaching and God's Word. But moderation. Moderation in our relationship to our neighbor is one in which Paul asks for gentleness. We do care if they are trying to stay awake. Or we do care if they're doing the best that they can. Did you have a rough night? Can I give you a mint or a piece of gum? I'm glad you're able to listen to the readings and you can sing the hymns. Gentleness. Maybe you know of the person who has made themselves into a kind of walking law for others. Everything that they do or says ends up making you feel poorly. They have made themselves the model and the rule, and they expect everyone else to follow their standards. This attitude is not love, and it is not gentleness towards others. In fact, maybe you have noticed that they are strict, but only in certain areas. So, the gardener expects everyone else to have a pristine yard and all of the weeds picked. The crafty decorator expects everyone to have an immaculate house which is decorated according to the season. The auto mechanic is appalled when someone doesn't keep their car regularly maintained, vacuumed, and waxed. But is it needless for me to say that the mechanic's garden, or the gardener's car, or the mechanic's household decorations are not all at the same standards? Yes. No one could possibly do everything that they say that you're supposed to do. When St. Paul says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men," he is teaching just exactly what we are required to show our neighbor, love and gentleness. Let me cite you some of the appropriate passages that shows about how we are not to hold our neighbor to strict justice, but to show them leniency and compassion. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And so if our neighbor falls short in some areas, we are not to judge, but to help them. Help them out and help them by, well, do their part for them. Bear their burdens. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, "Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." Love involves your gentleness in adapting to them, not forcing them to adapt to you. Love and gentleness means that you conform and fit yourself to your neighbor's needs, rather than make everyone else conform and fit themselves for your benefit. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." And so we see in love and gentleness, we overlook and even forgive the many shortcomings and offenses. Thus, you see, there is a great difference between strict justice and moderate justice. Before God, we are held to strict justice. Well, we even hold ourselves to God's strict justice. But we hold up our neighbor to a gentleness and compassion. We bend over backwards to be kind and to help them. Before I go on, you already know that God's strict justice of the law is not His final word. Our Heavenly Father has given us a message of gospel which forgives all the transgressions of God's strict law. And so with Advent, or the coming of Jesus Christ, our God shows us love which knows no bounds. He forgives our sins. He creates faith. He gives us a new heart. He showers us with His Holy Spirit and the gift of sanctification. He makes us His child and continues to teach us. We are indeed blessed. And blessed We rejoice. I'll say it again, rejoice. We rejoice always. Despite our failures, our loving God is patient. He loves and befriends us again and again. Maybe you thought that, well, I had forgotten that this sermon was a course in rejoicing, but I didn't. You see, the Thanksgiving Day sermon showed us that our thanksgiving is not tied to our plenty or being in need. We are content in all circumstances and give thanks always. Similarly, then, our rejoicing in God's goodness is often hampered by the actions of others. But it need not be. Our rejoicing is not dependent upon the action of others. We are not called to change others, neither are we called to hold others to strict justice. We are to rejoice in our salvation. We are to show it by our gentleness towards others. What a joy, then, it would be to know that nothing is necessary for the Christian but faith towards God and love toward our neighbor. Even as we speak the truth, we put the best construction on everything that our neighbor does. We speak the truth, but not in a headstrong or unyielding way. As long as we are not forced to sin, well, we give in. In fact, even cover over the sins, the weaknesses, and the ignorance of others. And this leads me to my final application of our rejoicing while showing love and gentleness to all men. Now, St. Paul said, to all men. And thus St. Matthew 5, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. As a Christian, you are to rejoice even while being treated poorly. If someone wrongs you or harms you, you are to regard it as good and think the best of it. You see, first, you are called to rejoice in God's love towards you. And because it enabled you to love your neighbor, or enemy as the case may be, with gentleness. That neighbor, yes, your enemy, or anyone that hurts you. Their wrong action does not prevent you from being loving and gentle. And that is all that you are required to do. We hope that they are turned from their sin and, well, receive the Lord's forgiveness, but that all is the Lord's doing. You are only called to be gentle, gentle to all men. Second, their wrong action can do no harm to your faith. Should they take away your goods? Your God will find a way to give you your daily bread. In fact, your God has more to give than they can take away. Should they harm your body, they cannot harm your soul. You will receive a resurrection of the body. Though others are mad and hateful, we can still be gentle. Though we cannot make our gentleness please everyone, we can still show love. The worst that they can do is say that you were gentle. So St. Paul explains that we ought to have rejoicing. And because verse 8 goes on to say, the Lord is near, well, with God on our side, nothing can harm us. Now you might ask, should we fear that the wicked, they will certainly take advantage and they will harm us for our gentleness? Well, if there was no God, then yes, I guess you ought to worry. But with a God who is near, we need not fear. He has much more than people can take away. St. Paul says in verse 9, be anxious for nothing. We need not worry about anything. He has us, and he has all things in his hands. So, let us return to that impartiality. This is what is it about. Christian gentleness is to be perfect and whole, not to be unequal and partial. The gentleness which we show at times to our friends and family, we are also direct in an impartial way to our neighbor. If someone wrongs you or harms you, and well, we are to regard it as good and rejoice that God is providing an opportunity to show gentleness to all men. direct your life so that you do suffer and yield everything that can be done, with the only limit being that you are not to disobey God's commandments yourself. So as St. Paul says in verse 7, and I say at the end of, well, each sermon, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, you need not concern yourself with your own possessions or with the reactions of others with whom you come in contact. What a joy it is to know that nothing is necessary for a Christian but faith towards God and love towards the neighbor. Those who rejoice in God are satisfied, and they have peace with God. Thanksgiving towards God, rejoicing before the neighbor. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of peace fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Page 143, Create in Me, we stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, the promised prophet from among the brothers and the Christ, we give you thanks that you have granted us eternal life so that we hear your voice in the person of your Son and listen to him. Let us pray to the Lord. Give your people an abundance of joy and peace. Give them hearts which desire to attend your services and rejoice in all circumstances with prayer, petition, thanksgiving, and praise. Give them the peace which transcends all understanding, so that their hearts and minds will not be led astray, but guarded unto eternal life. Give all pastors in Christ, including our Bishop James and our pastors Gary and Michael, the humility of St. John the Baptist, so that they do not regard their own person, but only concern themselves with being a voice which agrees with God's holy word. We ask that the children of our learning center, that they would celebrate the birth of Christ come in the flesh. Uphold our director, Keeley, and all our staff. Let us pray to the Lord. Grant that our President Donald, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, that all our leaders, that they may be dedicated to their callings, grow daily in wisdom, and have a genuine concern for the people God has placed under their care. Bless our police officers, especially Daniel and Alex. Also the members of our armed forces, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, and others who must be separated from their families during the holy days around Christmas, that they may be kept in safety until they are reunited. We bring before you the lonely during the holidays, that they might put their hope in you. You are the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak. Look upon the tribulation and the distress of the many affected by the coronavirus. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. Provide care for those infected. Calm the worries of the timid, so that in their necessities they may observe and receive your manifold help and comfort. For those who are discouraged because of a lack of employment, in your mercy, raise up opportunity for business and work, that in peace and thanksgiving all people may earn and eat the bread of contentment. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut in Carolyn, our elderly, Violet and Verdell. Provide, Lord, for the various needs of Priscilla, Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, Gibb, Helen, and Dan. We give thanks to you for the hospitalization of David, that he might find treatment for his blood clots. We ask that you would be with the students, Kara, Andrew, Eric, Jonathan, Kirsten, Alexis, Sarah, Benjamin, Jacob, and Ashley. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good, right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming in the Messiah the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Of the partaking of your body, O Lord Jesus Christ, which I, though unworthy, do presume to receive, according to your loving kindness, we profit for the receiving of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Who with the Father and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. I receive the bread of heaven and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my soul shall be healed. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul unto life everlasting.
Thank you.
give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to serve you constantly. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.